Welcome to the Routledge Mental Health Podcast. In this episode, I should be talking to June Alexander about her latest book, My Kid Is Back, Empowering Parents to Beat Anorexia Nervosa. June is a writer and journalist with a particular focus on eating disorders, stemming from her own personal battle with anorexia and subsequently bulimia that was undiagnosed for 21 years. June is a strong supporter of the Morsley family approach to treating anorexia nervosa and is based in Victoria, Australia. By focusing on the Maudsley family approach and expert advice from Professor Daniel LaGrange, and including clear lists of illness symptoms, strategies for parents and carers to follow, and information on getting further treatment and support, June's new book, My Kid Is Back, is proving to be an essential resource for families who want to win the battle with anorexia nervosa. Good morning, June. Thank you for coming in. To begin, could you tell us what prompted you to write the book? And what was the point when you thought My Kid Is Back has to be written?
Good morning, Catherine. Thank you for inviting me to speak about My Kid Is Back. I wrote this book for parents who don't know what to do when they suspect or suddenly find their child has anorexia nervosa. The story behind my desire to write this book began when I was a child in the 1960s. I was growing up on a dairy farm in Australia and had just celebrated my 11th birthday when I developed anorexia nervosa. Several years later, my illness evolved into bulimia. My doctors had no understanding of eating disorders then, and I didn't know I was suffering an illness. My parents and sister did not know either, and as the years and decades slipped by, due to the effects and behaviours of my illness, my family gradually became estranged. I don't want children who develop anorexia nervosa today to become alienated from their parents or siblings because of their illness. This has been my prime motivation for writing My Kid Is Back. I grew up at a time when mental illness was considered a weakness. I did not receive a correct diagnosis until my early 30s. By then, eating disorder thoughts and behaviours were entrenched in my mind. I always believed throughout my illness that I would recover faster if my family understood my inner battle. I wanted them to know the real me was trapped inside my illness. I strove to restore myself sufficiently to write about this, to help raise awareness and reduce the suffering of others. In 2007, 45 years after developing anorexia, I felt ready to confront my illness and expose it by writing my story. As soon as I began my research, I was drawn like a magnet to Maudsley family-based treatment. The more I learned about family-based treatment, the more I became convinced this could have saved me much suffering and saved my family unit as well. I wish this treatment had been around when I was a kid, was my first thought. Then my mum and dad, sister and me would still be a family. So this was the point when I knew My Kid Is Back had to be written. I want today's children to have the understanding and support of their families during their illness and the best possible chance of recovery through early intervention with the Maudsley approach. I don't want their illness to tag along as mine did when they leave home, enter relationships, and embark on careers. I want parents to know that about this treatment as soon as possible to save one child from the isolation and rejection I experienced as a result of my illness will make this book worthwhile.
And could you briefly explain the format of the book?
My Kid Is Back is a collective voice of 10 families who tell what living with anorexia is really like. Parents describe their frustrations in seeking help for their child and dealing with their behaviour, and sufferers discuss how the illness gets into their mind and takes over their personality. Their stories reveal why family-based treatment is considered to have the best outcome for children and adolescents developing anorexia today. In the first chapter, Professor Daniel LaGrange sets the scene, describing anorexia nervosa and how it affects the sufferer and the family. He refers to earlier forms of family-based treatment for anorexia before turning to the development of the Maudsley approach and looks at ongoing research in treating anorexia. In the following 10 chapters, families provide graphic accounts of the destructive power of anorexia and equally the healing power of love. The mums, dads, and children in these 10 brave and loving families open their hearts and homes to the reader. They offer empathy, hope, and inspiration to others caught in the fight against this illness. Their message is simple and strong. Early intervention with family-based treatment provides the best hope for recovery. Notes by the therapists who have guided these families on their recovery give helpful insights, and again, the message is clear. The longer anorexia goes unchecked, the stronger its hold on the sufferer. Each of the 10 families is different, like your family or my family. The only constant is the illness. Readers will identify with some family experiences more than others. The parents in each family initially display disbelief, self-doubt, pain, and despair. They don't know where to turn. But then, when guided by family-based treatment, they develop skills they never knew they had and acquire new ones in getting their child back from anorexia nervosa. So there is one chapter for each of these 10 families. Then we move on to chapter 12, which lists symptoms that may signal a child is developing anorexia and offers strategies for parents and carers to follow. Chapter 13 provides guidance for parents in navigating their way to the best available help for their child. It also includes a case study on introducing family-based treatment into both an established public health system and a private clinic. The appendix presents a listing of treatment providers and support links for families in the United Kingdom, North America, Germany, Australia, and New Zealand. Anorexia nervosa knows no bounds. As I interviewed each child who shares their experience in My Kid Is Back, I felt an eerie connection as they related their thoughts and feelings. The same as mine, in another place, another time, another century. If I needed proof that anorexia is a pervasive and insidious illness of the mind, this was it. Today, with growing awareness of symptoms and with early intervention through family-based treatment, a child has a much greater chance of full recovery.
So who would you say this book is specifically written for?
To quote eating disorder researcher Professor Janet Treasure of King's College, "Eating is a family affair, and so are eating disorders. This book is about and for families, whatever their structure." Besides providing hope and inspiration to families, My Kid Is Back can help health professionals and everyone who works with children and adolescents understand what anorexia is like for both sufferers and their families. As Dr. Ivan Eisler says in the foreword to My Kid Is Back, this is primarily a book for families trying to deal with anorexia nervosa. It is equally a book for clinicians and researchers who want to understand what it is like for the families. It is a remarkable book because it gives a voice to the families themselves, showing the different journeys they went through regarding both the developing anorexia and in re-establishing themselves and helping their child to recover. The stories are both painful and optimistic. This book emphasizes that unity between eating disorder therapy teams and families is essential for family-based treatment to succeed in beating anorexia nervosa. My Kid Is Back is for everyone who knows a child with anorexia or is concerned a child is developing this serious psychiatric illness.
So the book is written in collaboration with Professor Daniel LaGrange. Why did you choose to work with him, and what extra dimension does he bring to the book?
Daniel LaGrange is a pioneer and a leading expert in the Maudsley approach. He is a professor of psychiatry and director of the Eating Disorders Program at the University of Chicago in the United States. While training at the Maudsley Hospital in London, Professor LaGrange was a member of the team that developed the Maudsley approach as a treatment for early onset anorexia nervosa. I wanted this book to clearly show that anorexia is not an illness of choice. I wanted an expert to explain why and how the Maudsley approach works. Professor LaGrange brings reassurance and empowerment to parents in the book by explaining the evidence-based research behind the Maudsley approach and the three phases of treatment leading to recovery. He emphasizes that parents are not to blame for this illness. He brings hope for parents and explains why they are an integral part of the treatment team. As Kathy, a parent in My Kid Is Back, says, one of the many good things about family-based treatment is its teaching that you are not to blame. It is imperative that parents feel no guilt. You don't if your child has juvenile diabetes, and it should be the same for parents of children with anorexia. Our therapist, Kathy says, at every session would say, "Don't feel guilty."
Would you mind explaining in a little more detail what you mean by the Maudsley family approach?
Firstly, let me say that although anorexia nervosa was first recognised more than 125 years ago, this disorder remains a mystery. Greater understanding of the medical features of anorexia has led to more success in weight restoration in specialist inpatient settings. But the downside is disruption to the adolescent's family, social and educational life, and relapse is common. Moreover, weight restoration alone is not sufficient for recovery. The Maudsley family-based outpatient treatment for anorexia is a promising alternative to costly inpatient or day hospital programs. The Maudsley approach can be described as an intensive outpatient treatment comprising three main steps. First, parents play an active and positive role in helping to restore their child's weight to normal levels. Second, they hand the control over eating back to the adolescent. And third, they step back and encourage normal adolescent development. This approach differs from the more traditional treatment of anorexia that suggests the clinician's effort should be individually based. Some traditional practitioners insist parental participation is unnecessary and is even discouraged. Kelly in My Kid Is Back is one of the sufferers. She says she does not believe she would be alive today without family-based treatment. At the state I was in, I don't think I would have hung on to life, Kelly says. Without my parents, I would not have made the 5 to 7 years that is the average recovery with old treatment methods. I would have passively killed myself through starvation or actively committed suicide. The acuteness was terrifying. About two-thirds of adolescent anorexia nervosa patients are recovered at the end of family-based treatment. 75 to 90% are fully weight restored at 5-year follow-up. Similar improvements occur with psychological factors. In summary, anorexia nervosa is an illness, not a choice. Anorexia is a serious, biologically based mental illness, influenced by genetic, neurobiological, and environmental factors. People with anorexia nervosa are 10 times more likely to die than their age-matched peers. Families can be an important resource for recovery. early identification and treatment are vital. Family-based treatment provides the three phases of restoring a healthy weight, returning control of eating back to the recovering adolescent, and healthy adolescent development. Remember, when families and professionals work together, they create a powerful team to defeat anorexia nervosa. With early intervention and good treatment, there is every reason to be hopeful.
And how much impact can early intervention with family-based treatment really have on reducing the severity of anorexia nervosa in children and adolescents?
That's a very good question. Early intervention with family-based treatment can have enormous impact in reducing the severity of anorexia nervosa in children and adolescents. It can mean the difference between having an illness for a few months, a few years, or a lifetime. It can mean the difference between life and death. As with other serious illnesses, such as cancer, swift action will give the best hope of recovery. It is important to know what help to ask for and where to find it quickly. In Kelly's chapter, In My Kid Is Back, her parents feel they lost precious time before learning about the Maudsley approach 18 months into their daughter's illness. Bridget, the mother, says, "Early intervention with family-based treatment could have shortened Kelly's ordeal and saved her from the most extreme symptoms and the worst experiences, which we believe were due to her extended period at low body weight." We have a boy in the book as well, because boys also suffer anorexia nervosa. Matthew's mother, April, says, "We lost valuable time allowing the illness to extend its hold while searching for the right treatment. To learn through the family-based treatment that we, the parents, had to maintain control was a major revelation. We had been told otherwise earlier. To focus on encouragement rather than punishment was a huge turnaround. Until then, traditional treatment had created a chasm between our child and us." As Professor LaGrange says, if a parent suspects something is wrong with their child, they are usually right. He says, trust your gut instinct. Act as soon as you feel concerned. If your doctor suggests you come back when your child has lost more weight, look for another doctor immediately. The Maudsley approach proceeds through three clearly defined phases and usually comprises 15 to 20 treatment sessions over a 12-month period. Importantly, unless medically compromised, the child stays at home, surrounded by the 24/7 love and care of their family. The first step of refeeding to a healthy weight is vital for the brain to be nourished. Besides refeeding, this phase involves getting the family on the same page, externalising the illness, offering support, avoiding blame and criticism, and keeping the child involved in healthy aspects of life to minimise disruption to their development. Each family works out their own strategies in sessions with the therapist. A few key concepts are parental unity, for example with refeeding, while siblings take on the role of being supportive and being very good friends to their brother or sister. Kelly's mother says, "I wish the doctors who treated Kelly with traditional methods during the first 18 months of her illness could have seen the changes in her as a result of refeeding to a genuinely healthy weight. The big difference with family-based treatment is that you treat food as medicine. You cure the starvation first and then deal with anything else." Refeeding can be a very difficult time, as the illness will try all sorts of tricks. The Maudsley approach therapist will assist parents with guidance and skills to confront the power of this manipulative illness. The therapist explains it is the illness, not the child, that is resisting recovery. It's very important to remember this. Small achievements can suddenly become very big achievements. In Alice's chapter, Early Into Treatment, her parents, Neil and Kathy, learned to rethink the word big. Tiny things like eating a crumb were suddenly considered a big accomplishment. A crumb of bread or cake was a reason for feeling happy. Getting their minds around this way of thinking was very important in their daughter's recovery. Maintaining trust with the child is important. When Annabelle began family-based treatment, her mother Marie learnt that hiding brown sugar in a casserole or placing whole milk in a skim milk bottle was wrong, because she needed to build trust with her daughter. I had to cease being sneaky, and this was hard, because I just wanted Annabelle to eat more, her mother said. The second step of returning control over eating to the adolescent is a gradual process that helps kids re-establish their independence and encourages other family members to resume normal living. Kelly, after 9 months on family-based treatment, had a major breakthrough. Instead of going through my usual lunchtime routine, I bought a sandwich, she says. It had egg and mayonnaise filling. I ate the lot. 2 years had passed since I'd allowed myself to eat anything like this. Not only that, I ate it in a public place, full of people. This was a huge step forward. The third and final step in the Maudsley approach occurs when the adolescent maintains a healthy weight on their own. Treatment focus turns to building a healthy adolescent identity and helping parents step back and let their child catch up on living. Recovery maintenance and relapse prevention are also important issues here. In Kelly's recovery, she was soon thinking about things other than food. Teenage things, like having her nose and belly button pierced. 6 months after reaching her healthy weight, with most of her psychiatric symptoms resolved, Kelly returned to school. She had been absent for 2 years. Overcoming the physical effects of anorexia nervosa by restoring weight is a major step toward recovery, but the emotional and mental scars also require healing. Parents tend to remain a verbal punching bag for the sufferer until an emotional sense of self is restored. During the interview process, many of the children said to me that when their weight is restored, they would like people to know that their mind is still healing, and they would like the understanding that the mind takes a lot longer to heal than the physical symptoms of weight restoration. When Alice reached a safe weight, she still had tormenting thoughts. "People think you miraculously become you again," Alice said, "but you don't." Guidance is provided for parents as their children re-engage in life. Billy had a lot of arguments with her mother, Carolyn. She felt like her mother was making a career out of looking after her. "Sometimes my mother became paranoid, suggesting if I didn't eat, I would end up in intensive care again. She was overprotective, pushing until I got angry, and she could feel justified in saying, 'See, your anorexia is coming back.'" Stepping back for parents is a real challenge after caring for their child 24/7 during that recovery process. In summary, the Maudsley approach holds great promise for most children who have been ill a relatively short time, less than 3 years. This family-based approach can prevent hospitalization and assist the young person in their recovery, provided parents are seen as a resource and are allowed and encouraged to participate in treatment. Evidence-based research continues, but for now, swift diagnosis and early intervention with family-based treatment provides the best outcome for children who develop anorexia nervosa.
Would you mind elaborating on some of the strategies you mention in your book for parents and carers to follow?
Anorexia nervosa almost always starts in adolescence, around the ages of 13 and 14. However, younger children are being diagnosed. The illness often starts with an episode of dieting, which can take many forms, but almost always progresses to life-threatening starvation. Currently, four criteria confirm a diagnosis of anorexia nervosa. These are: 1. Extreme weight loss, usually 15% or more of ideal body weight, or a refusal to maintain a healthy weight. Secondly, an overvaluing of thinness. Nothing seems more important than the number on the bathroom scales. And thirdly, a perception of being fat when everyone else can clearly see you are quite emaciated. And finally, for females, missing three consecutive menstrual periods when at an age where regular menses are expected. As you can see, these criteria are fairly strict, and with anorexia affecting about 1 in 100 girls, you might comment that relatively few teens meet these strict criteria. This is correct. However, as parents in this book highlight, early recognition of signs of anorexia is paramount. Being able to intervene even before a child presents with all the criteria gives the sufferer a great advantage in terms of quick and full recovery. My Kid Is Back emphasises the need for parents to seek help as soon as you see the first signs of anorexia. Do not wait until your child meets all criteria for diagnosis. Early signs of anorexia nervosa include dieting behaviour, such as skipping meals, evidence of visiting pro-anorexia or eating disorder websites, reading cookbooks or becoming a vegetarian overnight, that is, without good reason. Your child might exhibit picky eating. Suddenly they choose to only eat healthy foods. Or they might start visiting the bathroom immediately after eating for purging, or they might miss a period. Act now symptoms include fasting. If you notice your child is not eating their meals, or their hair is starting to become thin, or they have a dry skin, or they're refusing to eat with family or friends, they're missing two periods in conjunction with their weight loss, showing signs of binge eating or purging episodes, or maybe you discover diet pills or laxatives in their bedroom drawer, or maybe you'll notice they're exercising to excess or in a driven way for more than 1 hour a day. Again, you may notice that they're refusing to eat anything but diet foods, or they insist on preparing their own foods, and they insist on weighing and measuring portions to the exact gram, and persistently insist on counting calories. All these are act now symptoms. So, where does a parent go from here? Getting started will not be easy, but a delay in addressing the child's budding eating disorder will complicate recovery. Like most other illnesses, medical or psychiatric, if an eating disorder gets half a chance to become established in a child's mind and body, it is incredibly complex to treat effectively. The Maudsley approach is the only treatment for which there is solid evidence of recovery for adolescents who have been ill with anorexia for a relatively short time. For now, this should be the treatment of choice. As Alice's mum, Kathy, says, family-based treatment has saved Alice and our family. She had been living on lettuce leaves, ice cubes and water. Besides refeeding Alice, we learned many things during our therapy sessions that continue to guide and support us. The family-based treatment is not just about anorexia. It is about helping each other and recognising signs.
And could you tell us how My Kid Is Back differs to other self-help books?
While My Kid Is Back contains expert advice, the thing that makes this book unique are the stories of the people who have lived with anorexia. These in the trenches accounts give a vivid picture of what confronting this disorder is truly like. This perspective is helpful to anyone who wants to help a loved one or who works with families of kids with anorexia nervosa. The 10 families come from a broad range of social and economic backgrounds in sharing their stories, and we hear the voice of the mothers, the fathers, their brothers and the sisters, as well as the sufferers. We are in their homes, we're in their bedrooms, around the dining table, at their schools, their doctors' waiting rooms, and at the hospital bedsides. We are there when a child smiles for the first time in 2 years. We experience the illness with the families and the joy as their child comes back. Anorexia is a very isolating illness. My Kid Is Back lets families know they are not alone.
And would you mind summing up why those suffering and those caring for somebody with anorexia should go out and buy this book?
My Kid Is Back is must reading for any family confronting an eating disorder. It empowers carers helping a child recover from anorexia. This book describes how family-based treatment helps regain the child from the illness and free them to live their life potential. It makes sense to involve families in treatment, and this book does not pretend it's an easy road. Parents of kids with anorexia are often overwhelmed. They're scared and they're confused. Parents like April and Ted, their son in hospital, said, "I wish I was a puff of wind so I could blow away," Matthew murmured as he drew his legs into his frail body curled under the crisp white hospital sheets. His voice dropping, he whispered to his mother, "I can't do this anymore." Anorexia nervosa had so completely taken over his mind and body that he wanted to die. His mother did not doubt him. She could see the illness was draining him of life. This was the lowest moment in 11-year-old Matthew's struggle. His parents desperately searched for a way to gain control over the horrid illness that was consuming their son. They didn't want to let Matthew go. There had to be an answer. And in Matthew's case, within 12 months, they found the answer in family-based treatment. Even with the best professional care, much of the day-to-day burden of anorexia falls to families. Parents want to help their kids, but often struggle with how to do that. It's easy to feel defeated, desperate, and helpless. My Kid Is Back conveys to families they are not alone, while acknowledging the recovery journey is not easy, especially at the start, when the illness kicks back. April felt confused and angry as the family-based therapist explained why, of all the people in the world, she and her husband Ted were the two most likely to help their son recover. The reason, the therapist said, was because they knew him better than anyone else. They loved him more than anyone else, and they were with him more than anyone else. Initially, Matthew would require constant devotion and vigilance, 24 hours a day, every day, to recover from his anorexia. For Alice, for the first 3 months of family-based treatment, as her parents fought her anorexia head-on, they feared Alice had completely disappeared. "There was nothing in her eyes," Kathy said. "Twice in 3 months, I saw them flicker. They were the only indication that somewhere in her mind, Alice was alive." Neil said Alice was a shadow of herself. "She was more dependent than a baby," he said. "We had to feed her." "You have to feed a baby, but a baby has a personality. Alice had none." She was conveying one message to us, and it was, "I don't want to be here." her illness was taking her from us. By showing how parents have helped their kids, this book gives hope to families who suddenly confront anorexia nervosa. Feeling a connection with others who understand helps parents feel they are not alone and that they will beat this illness and be stronger for it. Alice's brother Doug made the comment, "An outcome of family-based treatment is that our family is really close. We have shared everything with each other. We have had some huge blow-ups along the way, and in dealing with these during our weekly therapy sessions, we have become more aware of and gained a respect for each other's personality. I don't think there is a family that could be closer than our family." My Kid Is Back candidly describes life with anorexia nervosa through the voices of the sufferer and each family member. This book is a reminder of the intrinsic value of family.
And finally, can I ask how the book actually got its name?
Yes, this is a good question. I had gone to Chicago to the university to meet Daniel LaGrange, and I asked him what kept him going with this work, which obviously was very draining. And he said his greatest inspiration occurred when parents who 12 months earlier had presented for assessment with a child looking like a skeleton with its life on hold or pushed back, re-entered his consulting rooms and said, "My kid is back."
Thank you very much for joining us today. For more information about My Kid Is Back, please visit www.routledgementalhealth.com, where a sample chapter can be downloaded and the full book can be ordered. You can listen to and subscribe to more podcast interviews at this same address.